We're going to do a webinar about the Safe and Learning Enabled Systems, which is NSF 23-562. We're going to do a brief description in the beginning, and then we're going to answer questions through the chat. So if you have questions that you're thinking about, please feel free to start typing in the chat now. Hopefully we'll answer those questions as we go, but please start typing your questions. So I'm going to introduce my team here, and actually, Jay, I'll start. Jay, would you like to introduce yourself?
The Jay Yang, the program officer in the SIES IS division, the Robust Intelligence Cluster.
Okay, and then Anindya?
Hello, I'm Anindya Banerjee. I'm in SIES in the Computing and Communication Foundations division, and I'm in the Software and Hardware Foundations Cluster.
And David Corman?
Yeah, thanks. I'm David Corman. I'm part of the CNS division in SIES, and I also lead our cyber physical system program.
And I don't believe Pavithra is here today. I think she was double booked. So Pavithra Prabhakar is one of our program officers and our communication and Computing and Communication Foundation. So and an important part of our team. Oops. So the important thing in this slide is really to realize that all of SIES is taking part in this. So we see that there's really important aspects of each of the divisions. So whether it's Computing and Communication Foundations, whether it's Computer and Network Systems, or whether it's Information and Intelligence Systems, we see aspects of all of these areas in here. So that's why this whole initiative is across SIES, because it's important in so many different ways. I also want to introduce our partners, or have our partners introduce themselves. So from Open Philanthropy Projects. So Ajaya Kotra is one of our colleagues.
Hi, I'm Ajaya. I am a grant maker at the Open Philanthropy Project focusing on AI safety issues. My partner, Dan Hendricks, is going to be doing most of the talking. He has a lot of experience in the AI safety field, and he runs the Center for AI Safety.
Yeah, so I'm collaborating with Open Philanthropy on this, and really excited to see so many people interested in safety, especially now as the broader world is interested in it too, and the public is wanting some safety research. So glad everybody's here, and thanks to the NSF for doing this initiative.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's very exciting.
And thanks to our partners. Without our partners, we don't get to do the things we want to do and the things that we all think are important. So we're really very grateful to our partners on this. So thank you. So I think, as Jan just alluded to, our AI systems are increasing rapidly. And we're seeing all sorts of new things happening, but we know they're deployed in high-stakes settings. And we see this safety issue is becoming extremely important, as if it wasn't before. But I think as we see the proliferation of AI, we really, this safety issue has become extreme. And we really want to do more, we want to make sure accuracy, efficiency, scalability are done. But we really want to make sure that these systems are robust. So when we think about extreme events, we think about monitoring for strange or unsafe behavior, we really want to start designing systems that are built with this in mind, that are coming prepared to think about safety as one of the first features. So we thought in a safety, we should have a joke, but it's not the happiest of joke, but I think the thing we included it on was, but we really have to think about safety as not happening by chance. Safety is got to be a critical component. So, so given all this, we really want to think about what are the undesirable system behaviors that are safety issues? So what kind of things do they have? So we think about overt blunders, prediction errors, system crashes, silent failures, like reporting unjustified confidence levels, out of distribution issues, and completely competently achieving unintended objectives. So we want people to start to think about these undesirable behaviors and make sure as we deploy systems that these undesirable behaviors aren't coming to pass and that they're identified before they cause a safety issue. So in our learning enabled systems, we have learning components that include, but remember, these are not limited to deployed systems in healthcare and medicine. We can have them in criminal justice. We can have them autonomous in cyber physical systems and finance. Remember, as long as these learning enabled systems are a safety issue, they can be in any one of the domains. But these also include foundational learning-based systems that may be subsequently applied to many downstream domains. So the topic we're talking about is broad, but again, we remember that we're really thinking about the safety component. So what we're trying to do really here and in working with OpenPhil and NSF is soliciting foundational research that leads to learning-enabled systems in which safety is really done with a high level of confidence. Now, I know that seems like it's obvious, but I think we've all seen that's not the case as we're doing deployments. So this is what we're trying to get with this. We're trying to build the science base that gets us these high levels of confidence in these learning systems. So we'll consider it assess the success. If this program really works, if developers of the future learning-enabled systems can, one, informally explain why the system can be deployed safely in an unpredictable environment, and then back these informal explanations with rigorous evidence that the system satisfies safety specifications. So you can tell the general public why it can be deployed safely, and you can back it up with the data and the evidence for that. So the program is looking for proposals that advance, you can do it as general theories, principles, and methodologies to get to these safe learning enabled systems. And we want to get beyond a single problem, specific problem instance. So we really want to go deeper than just one simple problem. We want to really think about safety as this whole issue. And we want to think about it as we do scalability and deployability. So ideals for the program really are that proposals have the potential to make strong advances in the design and implementation of safe learning-enabled systems, as well as advancing methods for reasoning about the safety. So we know we need new methods. We know we need new ways to think about this. And we're hoping that this initiative really brings people with new ideas to the table. So an ideal proposal will demonstrate how these two objectives will be achieved. Provide evidence that the proposed approach will improve notions of safety, and then argue the potential for lasting impact on both rigorous safety evaluation methods and on the design and implementation of safe learning-enabled systems. So our safety guarantees, one of the things we want to verify that the learning system achieves safety guarantees for all possible inputs. We know that that's going to be difficult. But we really, obviously that's our goal, but we know that's not going to happen. So we really want to think about considerations for establishing safety guarantees, systematic generation of data from realistic but yet appropriately pessimistic operating environments, resilience to unknown unknowns, so monitoring for hazards or behaviors, new methods for reverse engineering, inspecting and interpreting the internal logic of these learned models, and then methods for improving the performance by directly adapting the system's internal logic. So these are what we're looking for when we're thinking about establishing safety guarantees. So our safety requirements, any system claiming to satisfy a safety specification must provide rigorous evidence through analysis corroborated empirically or with a mathematical proof. So we can do this empirically or with a mathematical proof, but we have to provide rigorous evidence. That's important to this initiative. Proposals also that increase safety primarily as a downstream effect of improving standard systems, performance metrics unrelated to safety, such as accuracy on a standard task, are not in scope. We have plenty of initiatives where improving system performance is part of what we do. In this, we're really looking for ones that directly impact safety. So If you looked in our solicitation, you would see that all proposals have four things. You have to talk about the notion of end-to-end mathematically or empirically based safety. Do it in plain English. What are you doing? How are you talking about this? And then justify why the end-to-end safety product properties are critical in this system. And that's really important. We don't want downstream effects of just improving performance. Really, what about the end-to-end safety properties on this? Identify the environmental assumption for the safety properties. So in what conditions, what are the issues that we're facing? And what are the automated, semi-automated, or interactive techniques for establishing the degree to which the safety properties are satisfied? Again, we know it's hard to satisfy all the possible options, but we really want you to come to us saying what you think you're doing there, which degree the safety properties are satisfied. And then demonstrate these techniques achieve safety. And again, it's mathematically or empirically through rigorous simulation, prototyping, and integration with actual learning-enabled systems. So again, when we talk about notions of safety, we're talking about robustness and resilience, the tail risk, monitoring systems for anomalous and unsafe behavior, interpreting reverse engineering and inspecting a learned system's internal logic or reliability under human error. So when we do the NSF review criteria, of course, we're talking intellectual merit and broader impacts, and those are the same criteria from the National Science Board. So the first question we ask of all of our panelists is, what's the potential for the proposed activity to advance knowledge and understanding within its own field or across different fields? We also, for broader impacts, talk about the benefit to society or advanced societal outcomes. To advance societal outcomes. We talk about what are the new creative or potentially transformative concepts? Is the plan well-reasoned? Is there a sound rationale for this? How qualified is the individual team or organization? And are there adequate resources? So those are our standard review criteria, and they apply both to intellectual merit and broader impact. For this one, we also say that the proposal will also be evaluated based on the components. So we want you to discuss the learning-enabled components. The proposal should describe the components and provide reasons why they are appropriate for the system being studied. Sometimes you can't study the whole system, but we want you to think through what components you're studying and why, and make the case why that's the appropriate components to test. We also, again, come back to the rationale in plain language on why do the end-to-end safety properties are critical to the system. We also want the safety plan. Again, those are the environmental assumptions under which these safety properties are ensured. So, you know, we're thinking about what are the techniques there and what are you doing? So that's our safety plan. And then validation. So you need a plan to validate these techniques. And that might be mathematically or empirically. It might be through rigorous simulation, prototyping, and integration with actual, including subscale learning-enabled systems. What is really important here is for the synergy projects, the validation plan must include experimentation on actual learning-enabled systems. So for the synergy only, it must include experimentation. So with that, we can move to questions. we have a listserv if you need the listserv. So with that, I'm going to open this up for questions, and we have a great team here to answer your questions. So, all right. So, right. So in the Q&A, so there's a question here. It says, is there a criterion for us to decide whether one specific application qualifies for an actual learning-enabled system? Anybody?
So I can answer that for part of the, give at least part of the question, especially when we think about the synergy element. So ideally, The ideal case is you have your research, you create an experimentation plan, and you evaluate what you've defined as safety properties on a real learning-enabled system, a real, for example, an autonomous vehicle. Short of owning an experimentation platform like a large autonomous vehicle, a subscale autonomous vehicle that still includes the basic algorithms, you can run your experiments, and that qualifies for that. It's a system that has the sensing, has the processing, and you can create experiments where you challenge your safety criteria.
Thank you, David. Anybody else want to comment on that one? All right. There's another question here about, does this program allow for research on existing systems such as ChatGPT versus developing new systems? So do you want to, somebody want to answer that part of the question?
I mean, I think large language models are quite relevant for existing applications, and you could come up with some improved model or some modified model using using some existing large language models, make those safer. So you wouldn't need to create a new one from scratch. There are many ways that we could understand large language models better. We could try and understand their internal logic by finding mechanisms inside of them that explain how they're doing some of their decision-making to give us more confidence whether their reasoning is appropriate. There are other things you could do on top of ChatGPT, like see if it's encountering an anomalous scenario or whether we should trust it in a different type of condition. Those are all things you could use to study models like ChatGPT, but you could easily replace it with some other large language model. I think if we're concerned about real world applications, then the large language models are an interesting new one that are basically touching on almost every field. So that seems to be a particularly interesting type of model to study if we're trying to make a system safer in the real world.
Yeah, I would add to that that the text of the call says that foundation models on which further downstream applications could be built are in scope. And I think large language models like ChatGPT and others would count for that.
Yeah, the purpose of this program is not to develop any specific system or applications, but to focus on six issues. So the problem can come from the existing system or technology or the new approach to the other applications. Anything you can define as a safety problem that could relevant to this program.
So I think that leads into the next question. How broadly is safety defined? Can safety consider things like limitations to critical thinking or other more psychological harms versus harms to data privacy, et cetera?
Well, so we include in it a discussion of uncertainty. So if we can have models have calibrated predictions, and if their interpretability or if their uncertainty is interpretable, that can help people make better decisions. So if we know when to trust our model and when it's more likely to be mistaken, and if we can get that to be highly reliable, then that would be useful. Likewise, if we can have some guarantees on its behavior, like certifies robustness certifications, that can also help people know when to use it. And that also touches on another question about how these would integrate into socio-technical systems. By creating some of these safety measures and knowing when to trust the model, that can help human operators more wisely decide when to trust the systems. And I suppose likewise with if we can provide explanations for how they're arriving at their decisions and are able to interpret the internal processes inside of models, that can also help people know when to trust these models and address socio-technical issues.
So Wendy, can I add a slightly other additional dimension to that question? we put language in there that says you should be able to express these safety properties in terms of plain English. And what we in part want there is the panel that's reviewing, as well as the program directors, should not be thinking of this as the riddle of the Sphinx. It should be very clear to us from your description, what are the safety properties and why they are safety properties. It shouldn't be a question that we struggle with understanding.
And I suppose building on that, one thing that if somebody were to say, well, we'll reduce the error rate or something like that, and that's the safety proposal. Well, that's potentially too broad. Error rates about what? Is this particularly related to any harms or hazards? Is this generically increasing the ImageNet accuracy or the knowledge of language models as they're answering exam questions? That sort of stuff isn't distinctly about safety, and there are many other sorts of programs for that. So I agree it should be, and the text confirms that it should be clear that it's distinctly focusing on safety and not making models, doing the sort of research that people have been doing for the past several years and just more of the same.
So I think this gets at the question, it's not only physical safety, but you have to define your safety criteria and you have to make it clear. So it has to be able to be understood, and it can't just be improving performance unless you're tying that, you're tying that to safety. Is that my summarizing this well?
Yeah, also I want to add that some issues are not included in this program, like security, fairness, ethics. So those are probably related to safety, but it's not included in this program. We have made it clear in the solicitation.
On security, we do have some language about appropriately pessimistic environments, though, and simultaneously in doing simulations or trying to come up with hard examples that they'd be appropriately rigorous. So still there's certainly a hope for doing some rigorous stress testing of these systems, though.
Sorry, I shouldn't mute myself all the time. There was a question about what's the criteria to decide whether one specific application qualifies for an actual learning-enabled system? I think the question is, we should learn more than a single application, but the learning system may be one system, right? We can have pieces of a larger system, or we can have a full learning system. So you can imagine this in many different ways. Do you guys want to give some examples? Aninja?
I was just going to say, as the solicitation says, a learning-enabled system is one that has embedded machine learning components. So that can be, it can be very broadly interpreted. So whatever a system with machine learning components is going to be considered a learning-enabled system.
So ChatGPT or Llama would consequently fit that bill.
All right. So there's a question here, it says components. On the component issue, the proposal described the system components and provide reasons why they are appropriate for the system being studied. What does the system mean here? The deployable AI system?
Uh, I think it could possibly be interpreted into it. So it could be the AI system, or you could imagine the larger system where there are some human operators involved. So if we're if the learning enabled model is itself outputting things like confidence measures or an indication that there's anomalous behavior going on, or that there's potential, like for instance, maybe a model is gaming an objective or pursuing an unintended objective, maybe if there are features that enable people to catch those issues and reduce exposure to those hazards, that could also improve safety.
I'd add to that.
Go on.
Oh, I'd add to that that one type of system that Open Philanthropy has particular interest in is that these large language models are starting to assist in coding workflows. So they're starting to write code at the request of humans, which humans then run or do other things with. So I think it would, thinking about how the outputs are used, are they just going to be run? Are they going to be monitored in some way? Could be construed as like the system that this machine learning model is part of.
As humans are being more and more removed from the loop, and as people are using AI systems to replicate a lot of that functionality, the notion of what the AI system is seems to be expanding, and it seems quite important to keep track of how it could be creating new sorts of problems for us as it replaces much functionality.
The next question is the notion of fairness, not being able to provide recourse, considered as safety.
And so there's the notion of safety more broadly, but then there's what was in the in this solicitation. So of course there's the problem of alignment to human values, things like well-being and impartiality, people getting what they deserve and whatnot. But in this solicitation, there's generally more restricted to deal with more standard harms and hazards. There are generally other proposals and programs that get at issues such as fairness, though. So this isn't to say that this is some like really strong intellectual stance against other sorts of human values. It's primarily that there's only so much the program can fund.
So the next question is, when learning-enabled systems are embedded in socio-technical systems, so just some of the examples in the safety is arguably not just about the behavior of the technical system, but how it's used by people. How much of this is in scope or is this intended to be purely technical?
Well, as partly mentioned before, there are plenty of technical things that can be help with the socio-technical aspect of people not unduly trusting these systems. If we have a better idea of their internal workings or when they're likely to be useful or when they're likely to succeed, or helping human operators monitor these systems more effectively, all those help with various socio-technical aspects. So there are plenty of technical safety measures one can do to improve broader systemic factors that affect whether there'll be accidents or catastrophes caused by these systems.
I think that we're really looking in this one, it's more of the technical than it is of the socio-technical. So
David said, basically you have to be clear define the problem mathematically or experimentally, right? So you need to clear define. So technically, sometimes it's easier to define. Of course, if you can come up with a definition for the first other, we are open to any safety problems as long as you can define it clearly, and then you have the way to verify it. Hopefully, that would be fine.
So the solicitation.
Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. The solicitation says that you need to define the particular safety property you're going for in plain English. And that property can make references to how the system is used. So you can say, even if a user uses the system in X reckless way, the system should not do Y bad thing. That can kind of make reference to the socio-technical aspect. But then the particular solutions, like Dan said, are and Wendy said, are more the like technical solutions to address that.
And as well, in the wording, there's end-to-end system too. So we're of course trying to think about how it touches on the system in context.
If I can add, one has to be very clear about what are safe behaviors of a system, and then one way of thinking about that is just, you know, if you think about the semantics of a system, what are the traces? What do the traces of the system look like? What are the safe traces? What are the unsafe traces? So these are issues that one may consider.
Okay. We've got a lot of questions about the specific definition of safety. And the question is it just physical harm? And I think we've gone through that, but do we want to add any more to the definition of safety?
So safety isn't just making the system do or perform better. There are many ways in which you could have systems have fewer errors, and that would in some ways make the system safer, but then they also might be more capable at doing things that are potentially hazardous. So that's why there's specific text in the solicitation stating that if you're primarily just improving safety as a downstream effect of improving the general performance of a system, its general error rate and things like that, that sort of thing is not in scope. So safety isn't just making the system work better. You need to show how you're specifically focusing on some targeting safety and not targeting its general overall diffuse performance.
Anybody
want to
add to that?
Just simply, you know, agreeing with Dan, you know, really think about the plain English element. We're asking you, you know, the proposer, to tell us what is safety in your mind. What are you considering safety? And provide a well-reasoned, easy to understand discussion of why that is safety. And then be able to show either through empirical or mathematical that your system enables proving that, yes, I'm meeting these criteria. It is a safe system. And yeah, and in part, that's the end-to-end part that Dan touched on is really you may only... What we don't want is you to consider only a single component of an integrated system. You may be able to reason, here's the behavior of this component, but how does that component then influence the overall system safety?
Thanks. Thank you all for that. One of the questions here is, so an actual learning-enabled system doesn't have to already exist in the world, but can emerge from the project. I think we're not looking for a new system. We're looking for a safety. These are really targeting safety. So if you're going to create a new system and then you're going to have to build it so it's not safe, it's going to take a lot of twisting and turning in your proposal to get there. So you might want to pick a learning-enabled system and that you can address the safety in it and spend the proposal and the funds working on the safety issues, not building a new system. So I'm sure there's a possibility, but I think it seems like a lot of extra work for not getting to safety. So so is AI alignment considered in scope for the solicitation?
Well, there's some texts like studying whether models are competently achieving unintended objectives. So we could imagine, say, using a large language model that's pursuing some, that's taking some actions in maybe some text-based environment, and maybe you're wanting to study some of its safety properties of how it's interacting within its environment, and is it causing harms in that environment. That might be an interesting microcosm, and that would touch on alignment issues in some capacity.
Okay, so we do have a question about there's a question about, are we looking at safety at the level of systems, or are we looking at individual system misbehavior, or at a broader scale than that? It's hard to translate this question. So the kind of the wholesale harms of these learning systems to society. And I will start with, as we're asking you to describe your notion of safety, you're gonna try to do all of society. It's gonna be hard to be able to verify that, to test that. What we're looking for is generalizable information that we can do in these learning-enabled systems. So we want you to come up with new methods, new ways to look at this, new ways to understand it, that then we can be able to think about across systems. You all want to add to that? All right. Could you all elaborate on the high stakes scenarios the program has in mind?
Well, there are many high stakes scenarios. Right now, people are using, for instance, these chatbots for things like medical advice, but one can imagine more competent systems later performing sequential decision making, and you would want to make those safer too. So. Those might be two examples. For instance, with ChatGPT plugins and whatnot, that is able to actually interface with the world, and that's creating some potential hazard. So since people are actually using these systems, machine learning systems in the real world there, and coming to depend on them increasingly and outsourcing more decision-making to them, I think there are many ways in which large language models are becoming more safety critical.
And I know we have said ChatGPT many times, but that is not a limit to this program. So we're not going to say it anymore, but you understand what we're talking about. So, but we remember we're talking about these broad learning enabled systems. So large language models are one, but there are many different things you can think about in here. So keep in mind, we have a broad thing. And actually gets to the next question. Does a learning system have to have a physical component, or can it be entirely algorithmic?
I think there are many relevant learning-enabled systems that are not having actuators out in the real world that are still nonetheless impacting it through humans. So it doesn't seem strictly necessary.
Right. And to add to that, the solicitation specifically talks about identifying the learning enabled system, and that needs to be there, but you can have other things around it, like the physical system or human in the loop. So these are all optional things, but what we really need to see is the learning enabled component.
Thanks, Pavithra, and welcome to Pavithra. So he introduced you earlier. Thanks for being here. Do the proposed projects have to demonstrate applicability of the proposed frameworks on more than one exemplar?
That might depend on how broad the exemplar is, but generally there's a prioritization toward having very general insights that are applicable to lots of different systems, as opposed to a very narrow specific application.
Remember, in the synergy, we're going to ask for an evaluation. So you really do want to think about the broader ideas, how they can be evaluated.
Yeah, this will also depend on the definition, right? So what's your claim safety in your problem? Then basically you have to test it in your domain. So if you only claim one domain, then you can only need to test one domain. If you claim this more generalized approach, you have to test at least two or more domain to verify your system.
Thank you, Jay. For all of you to keep asking if we're going to have the slides available, the answer is yes, they will be on the website, and the video will be recorded and will be on the website too. Is there notion, okay, here's the safety question. Is there notion of safety subject to interpretation with respect to the system under consideration, or is there an objective notion we must adhere to?
It's the answer is you're providing us that notion of safety. However, it has to be a notion that shouldn't be such a notion that no one on either the panel or program directors really understand. It should be clear to us.
Thank you. So can you elaborate? There's a question on this, and Jay mentioned this earlier, but it's on the security aspects. Finally, research on securing learning-enabled systems against adversaries is not in scope. Jay, do you want to explain what we were, that one? I know you mentioned it earlier.
You asking me?
Yes.
Yeah, for example, so people ask for the network security, so those problems is not included, right? Also ethic problem, fairness problem, so that's, we have other NSF program to address those specific problems. So for this program, we specific focus on the safety. So also safety here is quite broad, so you have defined and to tell us what's the safety in plain English, and then you can verify it. But we not talk about the fairness, we not talk about network security, and we don't talk about ethic. Yeah.
We do talk about deployment in very challenging environments and situations, or in the face of some very pessimistic hazards though. Things like network security or intrusion detection is generally covered in other programs.
Yeah, so here's the security. I specifically means the networking, those kind of security attack.
Could a proposal be a theoretical study with simulated experiments?
I think yes, the solicitation asks for that. Could be a theoretical study with experimental validation of the results, yes.
Only question there is, when you say simulated, to me that becomes more the less the property, less of the synergy element than the first first element of the solicitation. It's hard to argue that experiments on a simulated system are going to meet a synergistic quality.
So we can do the smaller awards on a theoretical with simulated experiments, but when we get to the synergy, we're really looking for a validation plan for it.
Right.
So somebody was asking, you know, if we're going to do that, should these be systems that are deployed? They said in industry, but it could be just deployed anywhere. So if we're talking about simulated systems and simulated data, if that's enough for the smaller awards. And then what we're talking about is having in the synergy level that these are deployed systems that you're doing.
Or subscale representation.
Are we considering human safety or system safety or both?
Well, I think the solicitation speaks about safe systems, but the way systems interact with humans could introduce safety concerns that could potentially be addressed. So for example, a thing that would be in scope is if you wanted to talk about, do a project on system honesty, like how can a non-expert human tell if an AI system is telling them false information when the AI system might have more familiarity with that, a certain domain, like coding or medicine, than that human might be. Something that has a human component to it, but then the research project would involve, like, how can you have guarantees that that system is not going to lie to the human?
And if you're going to do something like that, make sure you have ground truth for what lying to humans means too. Because in medicine, there are so many different outcomes that are possible that finding out what ground truth is often a challenge. So make sure when you're thinking about it, you're thinking that way. Make AI library safe, not crash. Is that in scope?
I'm not sure, but my guess would be no, because the libraries are likely like code written maybe to train AIs, but libraries aren't themselves learning enabled systems. Like the library isn't itself doing learning, or it's like more just some software somebody has written that might then go interact with learning enabled systems. But
yeah, I think Ajay is making a good point. You'd have to argue the safety question. And so you might have a library that you feel like makes this, but it doesn't seem like it's from the outset when we're just talking about it now. It seems like it's out of scope. But if you felt like it really was, you can also send us a one-page project summary that we can give you feedback on too. And so we are encouraging everyone to do that, to send a one-page summary.
But Wendy, let me also add that. And you know, if you have trouble, if you're not convinced that it's safety, think about it from the panel perspective. You know, they're going to be one of the ultimate judges. And if it's not, if you have your doubts, you know, don't depend on the panel to not have similar doubts.
I think that's always a good point. If we can't answer it easily, it's going to be hard for the panels.
Exactly. That's exactly my point.
So one of the questions here is the solicitation targeting only deep learning components or also on classical learning components like Bayesian networks?
Yeah, any learning components. So we don't really specify any methodology or system, right? So the people can use any technology. You can even come up with a new approach to or design principle that I can design the safer learning systems. That will be fine too. So as long as you can define it, you can verify it, that would be good.
Though there may be some headwinds if you're trying to study solely support vector machines or something like that, and because some of them may have less applicability in many applications. So there might be some tension there in not doing deep learning systems. There might be less applicability, and that might be harder to argue for its broader impacts.
There is a question on the process, which is one I can answer. Somebody says I've never applied with a partner agency when it's NSF and OpenPhil and Good Ventures. So is it different? And is it different? Not a whole lot different, but our colleagues that are here now will also be sitting observing panels. And then as we're making decisions, it will also have input. But remember, this is a joint project, so, and it's led by NSF. So what it looks like from the outside it'll look like NSF, but in partnership with our colleagues. So, so there's a question, is it limited? What domains of learning enabled systems are of interest to the call? Is it limited to large language models like ChatGPT? Or does it cover non-deep learning based systems?
We kind of answered that. Like multimodal systems seem interesting too. There could be not in deep learning ones, but a lot of applications are deep learning. And so.
So what's the composition of the review panel for this? It will depend on the projects. There will be, I don't know, Aninda, David, Jay, Parvitra, who wants to weigh in?
Oh, I think it'll compose of people who are researchers who are experts in learning, machine learning, as well as researchers who are experts in formal techniques and other experimental techniques and implementations of these systems. So it'll be a mixed panel, a panel with mixed expertise.
Okay, and so what's the difference in the requirements between the foundation projects and synergy projects? Can two researchers from different institutions apply for the same project as co-PIs?
Are you simply talking about collaborative proposals?
I think there's a question about foundations versus synergies. But then there's also a question about, I think it's collaboratives. So yes, you can do collaborative projects.
Yes, you can do collaborative. And so the other question, can one PI apply for both?
Yes.
I think the answer is yes.
But that's a limitation that basically each time you can only apply for one category for one proposal. In total, you will only apply for two, right? So that's what the, so if you apply this time for both categories, then you're done. So you cannot apply next time. So if you apply for one category this time, you can apply either category next time. So total is two.
Okay. Does safety include consideration of age and context, such as when systems are used in an educational setting?
So really it there depends what are you defining as the safety properties that you're going to evaluate within the context of that setting.
There's also a question of whether fairness, which I believe we've answered before, or privacy, are they safety concepts?
And so since there were limited things that it could fund, the things like fairness were generally more out of scope, but when construing safety more broadly, you know, there are obviously many parts. It's a broad socio-technical problem, involves governance, involves security. There's a lot of things to make systems safe, but in the this program's sort of targeting many of the areas that were neglected in research previously or not covered by other programs. So hence they're generally not as or it's not really in scope.
Yeah, the privacy research are mainly covered by this trustworthy computing program already in the side. So I think that's pretty much out of scope, this program.
It would just be difficult to argue privacy as the primary safety outcome of the project. that would be, it'd be a tough argument.
All right. Dan mentioned uncertainty calibration. Can we use that as the only safety criteria in the proposal, or is it too general?
That's obviously going to be left up to the panel. Maybe one would want some more specific steps or things to make it have more of a safety flavor. You could potentially argue that we're wanting to have certainty about when the models are applicable or when they or maybe when there's some hazards in the environment, or if the machine learning systems themselves are creating hazards, can we detect that? So you might want to add more resolution to exactly what you're going after instead of using just a broader buzzword like uncertainty.
And going off the language in the solicitation to describe the safety properties in plain English, maybe you would want to draw out what unsafe things might happen as a result of the model being miscalibrated in a particular way.
Thank you. There's quite a few questions coming through on, is this related to HCI? Why isn't this an HCC, or human-centered computing? And I think one of the questions that comes up here is, so this is not HCR, human-centered computing group does lots of works about issues of adverse events and things happening, but they're really documenting them and they're really documenting what's happening. This is really to prevent. So we're really trying to create systems here, create tools, create methods and techniques that allow these systems to be safe. It isn't documenting that they're not safe. It is really trying to address the safety issues up front. So if you need to do HCI type methods to address the safety, then that's in scope, but make sure that you're addressing the safety needs. How many pages are appropriate for describing the components, rationale, safety plan, and validation? Are these separate sections from the main technical component or included in the technical part?
Yeah, 15 pages in the project description to give us a complete picture of what are the safety properties? How you're going to, what experiments are you going to prove? It's up to you as the proposer to decide how you allocate that page space. As you think about this, also think about what will make it easier for the reviewer to find the information that they're trying to identify from the solicitation. Don't hide information. Make it easy to review.
All right. So I hate to say it, everyone, but we were so busily answering questions, we ran out of time. So I just looked down and realized it's 2 p.m. and we were still excitedly answering questions. If you are interested in sending in a one-page summary, please follow the emails in the solicitation. Send a one-page project summary talking about what your learning-enabled system is, what your notions are, and what you plan to do, and so you can get feedback on your projects. I want to thank OpenPhil and Good Ventures for being a colleague here. They are co-funding with us, and again, as we noted, they'll be observers in the review. There were multiple questions about this, so I'm bringing it back up, but it will be, and decisions will be made.